speak to us now, Lord. We pray, speak to our souls today. This is why we've come, dear Lord. We're ready for your word. Your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Heaven and earth will pass, but God, your word will forever last. We are now ready for your word. As it goes forth, let the great seed of your word find good soil in our hearts, that we would be more than hearers, that it would help us to be doers of your word. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Each of you have probably heard the saying, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. It doesn't matter what information you have. It doesn't matter what knowledge you have. It doesn't matter what access you have. People don't care what you know until they know how much you care. And there is no place that that truth is better seen, better felt, better exhibited than in the church of Jesus Christ. People don't care if you have good theology. People don't care if you can sing like a mockingbird. People don't care if you can dance, if you know the plan of salvation, if you can quote scripture, if you can explain Christian doctrine. They don't care what you know until they know how much you care. In the season to serve, I'm challenging all of you to rethink what it means to be a Christian, because here's the truth of the matter. For generations, for decades, we have been erroneously taught that you measure what kind of Christian you are by how many times you go to church a week. You measure what kind of Christian you are by how many scripture verses you have memorized. You measure what kind of Christian you are, but by what kind of theology you hold on to. And we have failed to understand that when you have the life-changing message of God to help people become all that God wants them to be, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And the truth of the matter, my brothers and sisters, the church has not done a good job of showing people how much God cares for them. Today, for a few moments, I want to challenge you to think about this aspect of the season to serve. I want to talk to you from the thought, how to serve so you can share Jesus with others. How to serve so you can share Jesus with others. How does serving, some folk are still writing, leave it up. They're going to ask me afterwards, what was that again, Pastor? What was that? Can you fill in that blank? All right. I already know. Put it back up, please. How to serve so you can share Jesus with others. One of the things that I want you to get from this message is that when we serve others with prayerful dependence, when we serve others with intentional wisdom, and when we serve others with gracious speech, God creates opportunities for us to share Jesus. We not only share for the sake of sharing. We not only serve for the sake of serving, but we want to make sure that there is the love of God expressed in everything that we do. If you have your outlines, would you say amen? Amen. If you need an outline, raise your hand and the ushers will get one to you. Our foundational text is Colossians chapter 4. Paul wrote this letter to the church of Colossae somewhere between 60 and 62 AD. He did not organize or find the church, but he writes to encourage this church, this group of believers, by letting them know who Christ is, who they are in Christ, and because of who Christ is and who they are in Christ, what Christ expects from them. One of the great things about the book of Colossians, and I would encourage you to read it on your own, is the idea of knowing who you are in Jesus Christ. And that is so critical, because I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that too many of us, because of not knowing who we are in Christ, live our lives as believers from the outside in instead of from the inside out. We live our lives looking for affirmation from other people instead of finding our affirmation in who God created us to be. Paul is writing to this letter. He talks about Christ being the image of the invisible God. He shares with us that he is the creator and sustainer of all things, that he is the head of the church, that it's through his blood he reconciles sinners to himself, and in him dwells the fullness of deity, and believers are complete in him. He shifts, though, now when he gets to this fourth chapter, and he starts talking about now not who we are on the inside, but how we are to live on the outside. And he challenges us and explains how believers should live in relation to people who do not yet know the Lord. Three things I want you to see today that I hope and pray will give you some insight into what it means to be a person who shares Jesus with others through serving. Here's the first thing. Number one, you need to pray for God to give you opportunities to share and show his love to others. You need to pray for God to give you opportunities to share and show his love for others. Watch what he says, verse 2, Colossians chapter 4, the New Living Translation. Devote yourselves to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us, too, that God will give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I will proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Paul basically tells us three times in verses 2, 3, and 4, each verse he says to pray, because he recognizes that prayer is the first preparation for evangelistic service. Many of us think about activity before we think about praying. He says you got to start with praying. You've got to devote yourself to prayer before you go to serve. He says you better learn how to go to God. See, many of us view service as a simple activity that we participate in and not something that we do to show and release the power of God in people's lives. This idea of devoting yourselves to prayer carries the idea of persisting, of continuing steadfastly, of remaining faithfully committed to something. He says you've got to devote yourself. You've got to commit yourself to praying. My brothers and my sisters, you cannot do spiritual work without spiritual power. If you want to be used by God, you've got to articulate a dependence upon God. And that's really what prayer is. Prayer is saying to God and to yourself, I can't do it without you. That's why many of us don't pray until we get to the end of our rope, till we get into situations that we can't get out of, because watch this, we've spent so much time trying to get out by our own power and deal with it in our own power, and when we get to the end of our rope, then we decide to pray. Reminds me of the old folks that would say, if I ever needed the Lord before, I sure do need him now. No, you need the Lord all the time. The problem is you don't recognize your need of God until you get to the end of your ability and then find out that your ability can take you no further. Paul says you've got to learn how to pray. You've got to pray before serving. You've got to pray while serving. And you've got to pray after you serve. He says you got to pray all the time. And you got to pray and ask God when you pray, God, give me an alert mind. Now, why am I needing to pray with an alert mind? I need to pray with an alert mind so I can see what God wants me to see and sense what God wants me to sense. Sometimes you miss what God wants to do through you, and you miss it until after the opportunity is gone. Have you ever been sitting there saying, man, boy, you know what? I should have said something. Man, where did they go? Right? Well, it's too late. Now they're gone. You've got to be sensitive and alert to hear what God wants you to hear and do what God wants you to do. And then you've got to always do it in a spirit of thanksgiving. Right? Thanksgiving protects your praying from anxiety, from pride, and frustration. I am who I am by the grace of God. You are who you are by the grace of God. And when you run into somebody who you think doesn't deserve the grace of God, God says, don't focus on where they are. Just remember where you used to be. And when you remember where you used to be, you can show them grace for where they are, because it was the grace of God that found you where you were. Oh, see, some of y'all been saved so long. You acting like you always been holier than that. I got you. I understand. But for those of us who know we are a project even today, we can testify that God is still working on us. So he says, pray for an open door of opportunity, that the message of Christ, the mystery of the gospel, the ability of Christ to save from the guttermost to the uttermost. He says, but you got to learn how to pray. How significant is prayer? There's an idea, y'all, that we do our part and then God has to do his part. Let me see if I can make it plain. A sailboat is built and a sailor goes out to sail the sailboat. The sailor has a boat. The sailor can raise the sail, but the sailor can't create the wind. The sailor has the boat. The sailor raises the sail, but the sailor has to trust the wind from another source. And y'all, prayer is raising the sail, but we still got to trust the wind that comes from God. So how do you pray and ask God, God, make me sensitive so I can hear what somebody is saying. Make me sensitive so I can hear what they're not saying. Lord, help me to hear what you're trying to say. Acts 4:31, and when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness when they had prayed. And I want to submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that before you go to serve, start praying. Here's the second thing, and it's right here in the text. If you're going to serve so you can share Jesus with others, number two, you must practice living wisely so people can see Jesus in how you live. You've got to pray, but now you've got to practice. You've got to practice how you live. Watch this. So your living is not in contradiction to what you're saying. Somebody said it like this. Your actions speak so loud, I can't hear a word you say. Watch what he says in verse 5, Colossians chapter 4, living wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. The word translated live literally means to walk, to be around, to be in the presence of. Now, notice what Paul does not say. Paul does not say, don't be around outsiders or unbelievers. Don't fear outsiders or unbelievers. Don't avoid outsiders or unbelievers. And don't condemn outsiders or unbelievers. He says, live wisely among outsiders or unbelievers. Why? Because wherever you go, you will always come in contact with somebody who needs Jesus. Remember, only two kinds of people in the world, y'all. Only two kinds of people. People who need Jesus and people who know Jesus. That's it. Everybody in the world falls into one of two categories. And there is no shortage of sinners in the world. You know sinners. Some of y'all live on a block with sinners. Some of y'all live in the house with sinners. And some of y'all sleep in the bed with sinners. You don't have to go far away to find a mission field. Just reach over. That's all. You got a mission field right there. Right there. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right. And God says, you got to live in a way, watch this, that the gospel message is fulfilled by people watching how you live so that your living is not in contradiction with what you've been saying. He says, these are people who are on the outside of the body of Christ. He says, so you got to learn how to act wisely. That's why you got to pray, y'all. Watch this. You got to pray. See, here's the problem for some of you. Some of you want to be so theologically sound and so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. And you blame other people for not receiving what you're giving when you're not acting wisely or speaking lovingly. He says it's not your job to turn people off by how much theology you know. Because watch this, Jesus didn't say by the amount of theology that you know will men know that you are my disciples. He didn't say by how much of the Bible you memorize that men will know you are my disciples. He said by your love, by your love, right? And one of the saddest truths in the body of Christ is that we focus more on what we know than how well we love. So watch what he says. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Paul is not saying just be efficient. Paul says, recognize that God has placed, listen carefully, redemptive possibilities inside ordinary moments. Redemptive possibilities inside ordinary moments. There are times that just in regular conversations, the Holy Spirit is going to bring something to your mind, something to your remembrance, to be able to encourage a lonely neighbor, to distribute food, to make a statement, to make a phrase, to help them along the way. And when we live that way, when we live wisely, listen carefully, we're not sharing with them the whole gospel, we're just giving them a glimpse of the gospel. Let me put a quarter in the meter and park there for a second. If you like the window shop, typically, we like the window shop when we too broke to do store shopping, right? Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. You window shop a whole lot more than you store shop, right? And when you go by a store window, listen carefully. Everything in the store is not in the window. But they put choice items in the window. So when you see those items in the window, it intrigues you to go in the store. I'm trying to help somebody in here because your acts of service, your showing of love to people is like a store window. You can't show them the gospel in totality, but if you just give them a sample, if you just give them a taste, if they just see a little bit, they say, well, let's see if there's more in the store like this. So God wants you to start serving, not in a transactional way, but in a relational way. Not seeing somebody who needs Jesus as a person to be conquered, but somebody who needs Jesus as a person to be loved. So I want to challenge you this week. Choose one regular part of your week. Choose your workplace, your neighborhood, your gym, your school, your favorite business place, your favorite coffee shop, and begin treating it and seeing it as a mission field. And I'm not saying carry your big coffee table Bible in there and start preaching all over the place. What I am saying is in that gym, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, in your school, can you start being more salt and light? Can you be more loving and kind as you interact with people in that space? That's why Matthew 5:16, Jesus says, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. If you want to share Jesus through service, live in a way worth observing. Here's the third and final thing. Number three, you need to proclaim God's love in grace. You need to pray, you need to practice, and you need to proclaim God's love in grace. Verse 6, Colossians chapter 4, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive. Prayer prepares the opportunity. Wise conduct supports the opportunity. Gracious speech uses the opportunity. You cannot serve so silently that people conclude you are merely nice, moral, or community-minded and miss the fact that you are a child of God sharing with them the love of God. Let your speech be gracious. That your speech, your words are shaped by the grace you have received from God. It's hard to be judgmental, y'all, when you are thoroughly acquainted with God's grace in your life. It's hard to be condemning when you realize that you are who you are only by the grace of God. Now, some of y'all have been so long that you forgot what it was like to be unsaved. Some of y'all have been righteous so long that you have forgotten what it meant and means to be unrighteous. For some of you, your sinful activity is nothing but a part of your past memory. Some of you don't sin because you are holier, but some of you don't sin because you can't. It's called old age. You can't do what you used to do. Get quiet on me if you want to. You used to stay up all night and run all over. Now you can't stay up all night. You happy if you can sleep all night, and you can't run anywhere. You got to walk everywhere. You can't chase, and if you get caught, you don't like what you caught by. It changes, y'all. Look at somebody and tell him, he's telling the truth. He says, you got to learn how to speak to others as a rescued sinner who's telling sinners about a rescuer. You need to speak to people and say, even if that's where I used to be, the only reason I'm not there now is because of the grace of God. And that's why the text says Jesus came with grace and truth. Right? And here's the problem. Most people emphasize one at the exclusion of the other. Jesus came in grace and truth. Well, those who want to emphasize truth without grace become harsh and condemning. Those who want to emphasize grace without truth become vague and sentimental. If you have grace without truth, anything goes. If you have truth without grace, nothing can go without you being condemned by it. Jesus came with grace and truth. And he says your everyday speech should be attractive. Attractive. I love the ESV translation of that. We said it in the responsive reading today. He said, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you should answer each person. So I'm in Atlanta last week for the Lot Carey Foreign Mission Society, and a friend of mine, we catch up, so we decide we're going to go to dinner. We're going to hang out. We're going to go to dinner, and we pick this restaurant, and we go to this restaurant, and wonderful ambiance. Man, the staff was amazing, nice staff, and menu looked good, and, man, it was the worst mashed potatoes I ever had in my life. I'm not going to call the name of the restaurant because I want to give them a chance to get it right. But the absolute worst mashed potatoes I've ever had in my life. No flavor. It tasted like, some of y'all are old enough to remember when you would hang wallpaper and you had to put paste on the wall. it tasted like paste. Now, I know some of y'all thinking, how do you know what paste tastes like, Pastor? Don't worry about it. I was a child when I was a child. No, y'all remember, see, okay, I'm going to go back now. Y'all remember some when we was in school and you had to make a paste out of flour and water? Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, so I know what paste tastes like. It tasted like paste. No salt. The butter was unsalted. It was horrible. So when the lady came by, she said, how you like everything? I said, you know, everything is good except for the mashed potatoes. She said, what's wrong with them? I said, they taste horrible. She said, no, it can't be that bad, sir. I said, they're horrible. My friend said, they're horrible. Said, you don't have to believe us. Go taste them yourself. Go get you a spoon. Go in the kitchen. Taste them. They're horrible. She went in the kitchen and tasted them. Came back. She said, oh, my God, they are horrible. I know. I said, man, we was putting so much salt on there. Man, look, my blood pressure went up just looking at the salt I was putting. I mean, I'm like, salt, pepper, can I get some cayenne? Can I get some garlic? I got to fix these potatoes up. When the manager came over, we had a little question about the bill. He said, well, how is everything? I said, the potatoes are horrible, man. He said, they can't be that bad. Go get you a spoon. Go taste it. Paul says, your speech should be gracious, seasoned with salt. So when people come and interact with you, they ought not to taste you and go, oh my God, horrible. Nobody should leave good hope talking about, man, don't go over there, that's a horrible job. Man, they that bad? Go taste them. Go taste it. Go taste it. There should be something pleasant to interact with when somebody interacts with you. But here's what I've learned, y'all. It can't be pleasant when you're making it about you and not about them. It's about how much you know and not how much you can help. And how you can help that person become all that God wants them to be. He says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. See, when you interact with people, you've got to pray. And sometimes there may be a prayer before you leave the house. Sometimes it may be a prayer at that moment when you say, Lord, what do you want me to do? So I told you I'm in Atlanta. I'm getting a lift, go to the airport. Normally when I get in a lift, I'm checking my messages, I'm texting, maybe I'm making a phone call depending on how long the ride is. And I was kind of looking forward to it because the young lady who picked me up, she had 5-star rating. 5-star, and they talked about her car being clean and talked about her conversation and everything. So I said, okay, you know, let's see what's going on. I get in, the woman says not a word. The whole vibe, the whole atmosphere in the car, and you know the car is not that big, right? The whole atmosphere in the car is like, I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to talk. And so now I'm praying because the Lord won't let me get on my phone. The Lord says, you got to talk to her. And I'm naturally an introvert, and I'm like, God, I ain't got to talk to her. She ain't want to talk to nobody. I got in the car, called about them, say, hey, how you doing? She said, fine. I was like, okay, it's going to be that kind of ride. But she had some gospel music on. I had never heard the artist before. I Shazammed it. I was like, okay, cool. And then the Lord finally led me to just speak to her. And I said, how can I pray for you? I said, the Lord just laid it on my heart to ask you, how can I pray for you? And she just started shaking her head. And I said, it just seems like you're dealing with some stuff. And I just want you to know the Lord has heard you. And the Lord just asked me to ask you, how can I pray for you? And immediately the whole atmosphere shifted. And she's like, I don't even know what to pray for. I'm just going through some things. I said, well, I said, listen, I said, here's what the Lord is laying on my heart to say to you. Stop hanging in there and learn how to rest in him. Because the Lord is saying to me to tell you, he's got you. You're going to have to go through some things, but God has got you. And he's in. Y'all, the whole atmosphere shifted. Her whole countenance changed. Because in a moment of a 10-minute lift ride, she was affirmed that God heard and that God was moving on her behalf. Now, here's my point. How many times can you tell somebody or ask somebody, hey, how can I pray for you? How can you literally say, you know what? Let's pray right now. How can you come back in a week and say, man, how is that situation working out? Listen, you don't need to know and answer every theological objection before you start sharing your faith. You don't have to be an early church father or a top of the line theologian before you tell somebody about God's love. You can say simply this, I'm serving because Jesus saved me. I'm loving because Jesus loved me first. Somebody says, why are you out here? I'm out here because of what God has done in my life and what I know God can do in your life. And Paul says, we can do this for everyone. See, it becomes personal then. God wants to use you to personally impact and change people's lives. And can I tell you, when you start sharing your faith and start sharing God's love with other people, you're not trying to win an argument and lose the individual. You're not trying to prove how much you know. The late Dr. Evie Hill was one of my mentors, and Dr. Hill would often say when people were talking to him about being apologists, defenders of the faith, he would say this very boldly. He says, I'm not a debater, I'm a proclaimer. I'm a proclaimer. I leave the conversion up to God, right? I'm not arguing with nobody about what they believe and what all I know, Paul said, is Jesus Christ and him crucified and what God has done in my life. And you can't argue me off of what God has done in my life. You believe what you want, but I know what the Lord has done in my life. Have I got a witness in here who can testify what the Lord? So how can you help people? What can you do? What should you say? Here's a simple pattern. Pray for an open door. God, open the door and then help me see the door when you open it. Walk through the open door and then speak when God opens the door. Pray with devotion, walk with wisdom, and speak in grace. Because here's what God wants you to know. Your prayer asks God to prepare hearts. Your service demonstrates the character of Christ, and your words declare the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I want to challenge you as we're coming to a close in this season to serve, that it's really not just a season, it needs to be your lifestyle. That you need to think about what it means, not to just come to church and not to just have church, but to be church. To take the church where people are hurting. To take the church where people are being overlooked. To see people who have been put aside, who have a need. To serve the lonely, to feed the hungry, to encourage the weary, to support the struggling, to welcome those who have been forgotten, to dignify those who have been overlooked, to love people who cannot repay you. Go praying. Go observing. And go ready to serve. And remember that the person before you is not a project to complete, but the person before you is a soul for whom Jesus died. And just like he died for you, when you were at your worst to help you become your best, God expects you to help somebody else when they're at their worst to become their best. So when somebody says, why are you here serving? Why do y'all come here? Just tell them. We come here because Jesus sees you. We come here because the Lord cares about you. We come here because the Lord died to save you. We come here because he wants to change your life. We come here because he wants you to be welcomed into the family of God. We come here because he carried our sins, defeated the grave, and he is calling you to save your soul. That's why we come here. Because every act of service, y'all, get this, every act of service becomes an arrow pointing people to Jesus. What's the difference between us giving out food and the food bank giving out food? Same food, but we point people to Jesus. What's the difference between a clothing giveaway here and a clothing giveaway at a thrift store? Same clothes, but we got to point people to Jesus. Because when we serve, when we give, what we do is evidence of what the Lord has done in our life. And it's the love of God that we should be distributing. So every opportunity we should tell people, I serve because Jesus saved me. I love because Jesus first loved me. And I want you and somebody else to know that change in your life. Everything that you do, you ought to point people to Calvary. One of the members at the last service said to me, Pastor, you really helped reorient my thinking because I'm an attorney. And she said, I always think about the case, but I don't always think about the person who has the case. Right? Everybody we come in contact with, remember, only two kinds of people in the world, y'all. How do we help them to grow? We got to take them by Calvary. We got to take them by the cross. My late pastor, Dr. Robert Alexander Laws, the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, he was on his deathbed. I was a student at Dallas Seminary, and I went back home and went by to visit him at the house. And I said to him, I said, Pop, I said, what would you say to a young preacher who's preparing for ministry, going to a lifetime of ministry? What's something that you would say if you only had one thing to say? He said, Bud, he said, I would tell him, whatever you do, take people by Calvary. Take them by the cross. He said, giving out food is fine, and giving out clothes is fine, and doing work in the community is fine, but you got to take people by Calvary, because you don't want to change their clothes without changing their heart. You don't want to feed them and fill their bellies and their hearts still be empty. He said, take people by Calvary. And then he said, I'm proud of you, Bud. He said, I'm proud of you. He said, because you're preparing to be a 21st century pastor. He said, and I won't be able to make it to your graduation. He said, but I want you to do me a favor. He said, I want you to always take people by Calvary. He said, matter of fact, when you walk across the stage and you get your degree, he said, before you put it on the wall, take it by Calvary and dip it in the blood. Sanctify it in the blood. And remember, even when you got your degree, you got it to take people by Calvary. Take them by the cross. Maybe that's why the old song was so right. At last and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die? would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light and the burdens of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy over day, but drops of grief can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do at the cross. At the cross, where you and I first saw the light and where the burdens of our heart rolled away. And Paul says, whatever you do, wherever you do it, don't forget to take people by the same place you were changed. Take them by the cross and let them receive the love that God so freely gave to you. Amen. Amen. Father, we bless you today. I thank you, God, that we don't serve just to be serving. We serve to share your love with others. We serve to share and show your love that people who don't come to church may never see, apart from us being the salt and light in the world that you have saved us to be. God, I pray that somebody has been encouraged today. I pray that somebody has been challenged. I pray that somebody, God, who is listening would say, wow, it makes sense now that I've been saved to serve, because in my serving, I can share and show the love of God to somebody else. I pray, God, for somebody now that every opportunity that you give them, that you would make them conscious of it, that they would become prayerful and become wise and gracious so that they can be your representative to help somebody who needs you to know you, and help somebody who knows you to grow in you so they can help somebody else to know you. Where our prayers fall short, make up the difference. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Come on, church, let's celebrate the greatest pastor anywhere. Come on, church, let's celebrate our man of God. God bless you, pastor. Amen. Amen. Let's do it this way. Let's stand all over the building. This little light of mine, oh, I'm gonna let it. Come on, let me hear you. Oh, this little. Come on, sing, church. Oh, this little light up, I'm gonna let it. Oh, yeah. Come on, you can't sing it without clapping it. Let me hear you sing. This little, I'm gonna. Yes, this little. I'm gonna, this little light, I'm gonna let it, let it shine. Come on, everywhere I go, everywhere I go, I'm gonna. Extend the invitation to you. If you're here today and you know
You need to come to a saving faith, and you need to follow Jesus and make him the Lord over your life. Church, Pastor so supremely said to us today that we've been so blessed by receiving samples of God's goodness, God's grace, God's generosity. And I don't know about you, I like going to the mall. Not for why y'all like going to the mall. I like going for another reason. I like going because there's a food court right there. Yes, Lord. I love that food court. And I get to that food court and I love seeing the Chinese and Japanese giving out their samples. Don't look at me like that. Don't judge me. And I love to see them say, here's a teriyaki one, here's a orange chicken one, here's a bourbon chicken one. You know, this is good, this is good. And you know, and every now and then I'll confess, I get all of those samples. I go walk around, take my glasses off, come back around for another sample. That wasn't me, that was my brother. And I can't tell you how many times they've got me just like that. So you know what? I've had enough samples. Let me just go on by this whole thing here. And that's exactly what the sermon was about. That when you give the samples, people will taste how good the Lord is and will be able to say, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And we just need somebody in here today that says the Lord is good, he's kind, he's gracious, he's merciful, he's loving, he's protecting, he's forgiving, he's God, he's great. Listen, is there anybody here who can say, I've tried him and I know him to be a mighty good God? And that's all we're trying to do today. We're trying to give you a sample so that you can get the whole meal. Listen, we're looking for somebody here who wants to give their life to Christ. If you're here, come on, come on, come on. We're waiting on you. This little light of mine, this little
way.
Come on, come on. Then ask them, do you have a church home? Do you have a church home? If they say no, bring them this way. Bring them this way. Then I want you to ask, are we waiting on you? Ask them. Y'all ain't asking these folk over here. Ask them, are we waiting on you? Are we waiting on you? Are we waiting on you? Amen. Today is not the day to debate, to delay. Listen, don't let the devil win. Don't let the devil ride. There's somebody here today who might need to say yes to the Lord. And because you think you got more time, because you think you can, tomorrow is promised, you may be thinking, all right, Pastor Cam, I got more time. I got more time. But no, today is your day. Today is your moment. Today is the day that God is calling you into the family of God. God bless you. God bless you. Come on, church, celebrate that, celebrate that. Somebody else, somebody else. If you're here today and you know you are out of fellowship with God and his church, I'm asking you to come on down. Come on, come on, come on, come on. My brother.
Are coming around at the time to receive those of you your offerings. For those of you who are giving by physical currency, if you're giving by the six ways that are on the screen, you can look at those ways and give as well. I hear you. Yes, Lord. I love it. Amen. Thank you. Let's pray for this offering. Father, we thank you and we bless you for today. We ask, Father, that you would use this for the upbuilding of your kingdom. It's in Jesus' name that we do pray and give thanks. Amen. Amen. Also, we want to make known that the gladiators are